Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
We're going to go to 1 Peter in chapter 2, and as you go there, be mindful that this is not going to make any sense at all if we don't know chapter 1, okay? Which is so often the case, isn't it? The first verse says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Now that's interesting. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1, telling them, as newborn babes, to desire the sincere milk of the word. And I've heard this verse used throughout my Christian life as a good verse for the brand new believer. And indeed it is. But this letter of Peter was written around 55 to 60 AD, which means Jesus has been gone for about 30 years. Okay? He's been in heaven about 30 years. The apostles are getting older. And so it's getting down to it. For these men, they're going to be martyred, seal their testimonies with their blood. And so when you see these people that he's writing to, he's talking to the Jewish believers in that early stage of the church. You see, the church was birthed on Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus had risen from the dead. So the church was birthed as a Jewish entity, but then branched out into Judea, Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the world. And we know the Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter, he was the apostle to the Jewish in their background. If you look at chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." And he talks about a number of things from there on. But I wanted you to see, this is a letter written in a context. And the context is one of persecution that scattered the believers all over the landscape of the Gentile world more readily. And therefore, what he's writing is a little bit more related to what we're going through than we might otherwise understand. They were in an upheaval. We're watching our country become more and more in an upheaval every day. We need to know how to conduct ourselves at times like these. And Peter, as it were, was very diligent to let them know by giving them, first of all, good doctrine. You see, I could have stopped, and I was praying over whether to stop at the end of this chapter one and just go to other epistles where we could look and say, what is the doctrine? Because God's people, we need the doctrine. Okay. And because we need the doctrine, that will stabilize us. The Bible says the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord meditates in that law day and night, and he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And his roots go down and find water, right? And it says, by the rivers of water, and whatsoever he does shall prosper, and he will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. Listen, you and I, we can go deep. If we can't go wide, we can't go high, we can go deep, and we can find what will stabilize us in difficult days. Had a really windy April. Really windy April. Things getting blown all over the place because of the winds. Well, that's sort of metaphorical to what we're going through. We feel a little bit untethered sometimes when the winds get a hold of us. What next might be the question that is vague oftentimes. Well, I want you to see that what he did in the doctrine was he basically amplified in chapter 1 at least three things that I want to bring to your attention. If you look at chapter 1 and verse 6 through 8, the Bible says, in the salvation that you have, which is already perfected, so it's ready to be disclosed and revealed, it says, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor, and listen to this, glory, hold on to that word, glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, when you read the Bible in the Old Testament, the word glory comes up a number of times. Most often it's related to inside of the temple of God in heaven, or sometimes it's the glory cloud of the Shekinah. Glory. It was the glory that was on the face of Moses when he came down from the mountain. Okay, so this glory is a big deal because he's telling them, you're in an upheaval. Your world's been turned upside down. And what you need to realize is, number one, that you have security. In the first couple of verses, he says you are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And he says in this perfect salvation that he's given, he says now you rejoice in that salvation because it's yours. You are secure and you need to know you're secure. I'll tell you what, there was a little placard in my dad's boat. He had a yacht. He was all about being out on the water. But it said, when everything's going well, the captain's in charge. Any other time, it's the first mate's fault, okay? Because, you know, things get out, a little dicey out there. Well, you can't blame anybody else if you're not tethered. You need to know for yourself that you know Jesus. Nobody can make that decision for you. You have to come to Christ personally. It's not because you're married to somebody. It's not because your dad or mom were saved. It's not because you were born into a background. The Jews had a big deal with that. They thought, well, we're the seed of Abraham. He said, no, you're not. If you were the seed of Abraham, you'd have listened to me. Okay, so you're in understanding now. He's talking to Jewish people who are in a new world, right? Their minds are a little bit different because now they're not Jewish. Now they're completed Jews. Now they're Christian Jews, if you will. And that's new for them. And they're getting out there and putting it on display. You know, you get a brand new car. What do you want to do? You want to drive it around. You want to kid it out on a sunny day, especially if it's raining. You might say, well, we'll wait for tomorrow. Well, it was raining in their life. And they had to take their new robes of righteousness and put them on display. They weren't good about it because, well, it was frustrating, everything that they were going through. Easy to get focused on the earth, isn't it? Easy to get focused horizontally, isn't it? He says, no, you need to rejoice. And funny thing is where it says in verse 6 of chapter 1, it says in this salvation that is fully revealed, he says, you greatly rejoice. The word rejoice literally means to make much leaping and rejoicing and springing up. Okay? He says, you're springing up a lot. What he's telling them out of the gate in his letter is, you've got a lot to be excited about. Think about that. That's huge. Verse 6, you've got heaviness. But you rejoice in your salvation? God wants to put that on display. What? Your security. Verse 13 of chapter 1. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we've made much about unpacking the idea of the revelation of Jesus. We always think the revelation of Jesus has to do with the book of Revelation. And certainly that does have a lot to do with the revelation of Jesus. But that's not what he's talking about. He's saying you're out of the salt shaker now, and God's going to reveal himself through your lives to your world around you. And when you're out there and you're in the lion's den of being among Gentiles that make you uncomfortable, he says God will give you grace. So hope for the grace. So he's telling them in no uncertain terms that they, first of all, have to have security. Secondly, they have to have sobriety because they're going to have a tendency to want to fall back into the ruts of their own flesh. So in your doctrine, understand God doesn't want you to be drunk with wine. And the word sober here doesn't mean sophroneo, which is the idea of having a saving mind. This means literally being sober. Don't go get drunk because times are hard. I think we almost have a paradigm in our mind that we think in Russia that they all drink vodka. Because it's so bad over there, right? We all have that mindset. We see it in our mind's eye because we've been told that. And that's what people have a tendency to do. They tend to inoculate themselves. In Ephesians, it tells us in chapter 5, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Don't be drinking. Don't hit the sauce, okay? He says what you need to do is be sober and hope to the end. So, in other words, lean in on Jesus and look for the grace of God. Because when you're out there trying to witness to a Gentile you don't know very much about, God will show up. Why are you going to be witnessing to him? Because you're out of place there. Do you realize you're out of place here? The Bible says we are pilgrims and sojourners down here. And the more you demonstrate to the world around you, whether you just mention church on Sunday or you use God's name in a reverential way rather than in the swear word, when you have a testimony in your circle of influence, they know you're not like the world around them. They're looking for you to fall. And maybe you will. You may fall in front of them. Sometimes that heaviness that you have, oh, I feel bad, you need to go back and apologize. And they think, well, he fell, but yeah, he apologized. I thought Christians thought they were better than everybody else, you know, because that's the way We've been framed by the world's crowd. They think all Christians think they're better than everybody else. The fact of the matter is we are wretched at best. Grateful, saved people who say, you know, I don't deserve to be here. Chip Wolf had a thing I've been picking up here lately, but he always was asked by people, how you doing today? He said, better than I deserve to be. Okay, I deserve to be doing good. But he's good. And they'll say, what do you mean? That's weird. It takes them off their game and they may inquire. Well, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus and I don't always get it right. Done. And if you get more, you got more, right? Tell him. He's good to me and he can save you too. No, we understand that we're needing to hope to the end for the grace. So when we're in this upheaval, chapter 1, hope to the end for the grace of God. Now, don't be looking at the circumstances. Look at the Savior. The Bible says then beyond that in verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unpretentious love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And what he's saying here is not only do you need to have security, not only do you have to have sobriety in times like these, and you can for all that he is going to provide you with, but also you need to have integrity. You said you got saved. What did you get saved from? Well, you say, well, I got saved from sin. That would be the proper answer. Some people might quickly say, I got saved from going to hell, and that's true too. But the main thing is you got saved from sin. But that's not the end of the story, is it? You also got saved to something. And that's in verse 22 of chapter 1. He says, you were saved unto unfeigned, unpretentious, unhypocritical love of the brethren, Philadelphia. Now, there are a lot of people who said church is not important, church attendance. I can't listen to a preacher. He tells me I got to do something. I got to behave some way. And we just say, I just don't want to go. I'm not going to go. Well, you can choose that. But it's like putting diesel fuel in your gasoline engine. You start walking away from God's church because you've got a better idea of how it ought to be done rather than supporting God's church, which he said Jesus was going to be building. You're kind of going in contradiction to him. And you're teaching other people that that's a valid choice. Do you know, I've actually seen elders in our generation that live together because they will lose their Social Security and they say they're saved. And what ends up happening is I'm just totally conflicted by this because they've got kids and grandkids and everybody knows. And then they go into the church and they're like saying amen at the right time or whatever. And it's just weird. And it's a bad testimony. And it's putting diesel fuel in a gas engine. You can do it. But the fact is that it's probably not a good idea to do that because it'll mess you up if you put diesel fuel into your gasoline engine. No, the Bible says that you have been saved unto an unpretentious, unhypocritical love of the brethren. Now, how can I love these people the same way they can love you? Just put up with each other. Let's just get along. Okay, let's make sure that we're loving him. And it makes loving each other easier, doesn't it? But isn't it interesting that the three things he says, security, sobriety, and integrity, are very important to him to get on their minds when they're going into a storm? You ever feel like you're going into a storm? Did you feel it this morning? Did you hear the thunder and the dark clouds? I thought we were going to have a day, didn't you? But you know what? We are kind of in a storm. The world's in an upheaval. And the government's in an upheaval and the church is on the rocks, man. We're having trouble getting the right thing said in the right way. You know, and everybody has to have it said in the right way. I've been amazed at how politicians can talk and quickly correct themselves when they make a mistake. You know, and that's because they have to. One false step and they are out of the race altogether. And they've either been coached or they're very conscientious. Some people have an ability to just be able to catch themselves. And I'm telling you, in these verses, is he setting the stage for chapter 2? And so when he says this, and it makes more sense for us now, in verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, he's not talking about among themselves as much as he's talking about God. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.